together for the reading of God's Word. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 29. Chapter 5 and verse 29. Oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it may be well with them and with their children, how long?
Forever.
And then go with me, if you would, to chapter 6. And looking at verse 4, the Bible says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, and with all of thy soul, and with all of thy might. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house, and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto the fathers, to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and serve him, and shall swear by his name. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, please take this message and drive it right home to each heart. May we not lose sight of what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to speak this evening on, give you 10 questions that every family must answer. 10 questions that every family must answer. I believe that if you say yes, you pass that test. If you say no, you've got some work to do. All right, it's a yes or no answer. It's not, well, maybe so, or I hope so, or boy, that'd be great if that was so. But I want you to write each of these questions down, and I want you to think about this question and then answer it in your heart. Yes or no. All right? As we gather on this Father's Day evening, we think about the great opportunity and the potential there is in fathers. I believe that a strong church has strong men in it.
Yeah.
Amen. Right. I thank the Lord for every woman in the church. We couldn't get along without you. But you know what? There needs to be strength among men.
Yeah, that's right.
They need to lead. And, you know, women seem to be more spiritual than men.
Yeah.
Ladies, say amen. I'm trying to help you. They seem to have a hunger and a desire for God more than men. Men kind of macho, bless God, I can take care of it. And what happens is we fail to really depend upon God and submit ourselves to the leadership of God in our lives. And I really believe that if we would walk with God and we would be so sensitive to what God is sensitive toward in our lives, we could see a great revival break out among our men and among our young men. And I believe we need preachers for New York City. We need preachers to go around the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm so grateful for the opportunity that God gives to us. But this question, maybe you're not, maybe there's no father in your home, then these questions still must be answered. And I pray that God will bless and use this message in a mighty way. Number one, has your family heard you tell how you got saved? Does your family know your testimony of salvation? You'll notice here in the Scriptures, the Bible tells us in verse 5 that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy what? Heart. The Bible says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confessing is made unto salvation. Jesus made the statement that if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father which is in heaven.
Right.
We're to be telling people how we got saved. My dad, he tells the story how he got saved. They called him Porky for short, you know, because he was short and he was fat. And he went to a Percy Crawford youth rally in Syracuse, New York, and he was way up in the balcony listening to Percy Crawford preach, and he came under Holy Spirit conviction. And when the invitation was given and the place was so packed, he told everyone, stay where you are, but pray this prayer if you mean business. And my dad got saved.
Amen.
My mother was led to Christ by her pastor in Hartsville, New York. Now, nobody here knows where Hartsville, New York is. It's way up by Canisteo. Do you know where Canisteo is? I didn't think so. Moving right along. And anyway, she got saved. A faithful pastor was there that led her to Christ. Amen. And you know what happened? Her sister, Elmer, had gotten saved earlier on. And Elmer went as a missionary, or she went to Bible college. So Lois Knickerbocker, my mother, said, well, I better go to college too. And she met my dad there. They got married. They started 5 churches, 5 Christian schools, and raised 5 boys to serve the Lord.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
I sure am glad that my mom got saved. Oh, I'd love to tell you how I got saved. I was 3 rows back in a church, my dad's church, in Port Watson Street in Cortland, New York. And there was this fat evangelist came and preached. And he preached a hot hell and scared the living daylights out of me. And I went forward to get saved, but nobody dealt with me. And in fact, I got thinking about that. You know, what if somebody comes and said, Danny, why did you come forward? I would have said, I want to get saved. And they would have led me to Christ. But I, no one came and talked to me, so I went back to my seat as lost as I came up. And it wasn't until I was 14 years old that my father said, Daniel, I've never seen any indication that you're saved. And I got saved.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And I'd done something that really offended my dad. I don't know what I'd done wrong, but later on that night, I said, hey, Dad, guess what I did today? And he said, what, son? I said, I got saved. He said, we'll see. Now, if you're a father, you understand that, or a mother, you understand that, don't you? You want to see evidence to prove
right.
that you're saved. You know why some people never share their testimony? Because there's no evidence to prove that they're really saved. There are some people, they know they're not saved. That's why they don't tell anybody. That's right.
Yeah.
There's people that go to church and grew up in church. And they know all the songs and they can quote the Scripture, but they're lost.
Yeah.
I was preaching just recently. And this lady came up to me after the service up in Maine just 2 weeks ago on a Sunday morning. And she said to me, Brother Knickerbocker, that's exactly how I got saved. I went to this church for years. And one Sunday during the service, it dawned on me, I am lost. And she came forward, got saved. People said, you weren't lost. She said, yes, I was lost. And her life changed. And what a joy. She said, it was so wonderful to hear your testimony. Because that's exactly what happened to me. Oh, I want to tell you something. We need to tell people how we got saved. Amen?
Amen.
The little children need to know that mom and dad know the Lord.
Yeah.
See, when you tell people you're saved, you got to act like it.
Yes, right.
Amen.
Amen.
And we need to... Hey, listen, you may act like you're saved at church, but how do you act when you get home? Number 2, has your family heard you call out their name to God in prayer?
Amen.
Do you pray for your kids?
Amen.
Do you pray for your preacher? Do you pray for the church? Oh, listen, we need to have a time when we pray and bring each other's name before the Lord. You know, you can find out a lot about somebody when you hear them pray.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
Amen.
And you know, I'll tell you what, prayer works.
Amen.
You ought to try it. You'll like it. Amen.
Amen.
We ought to pray more than we pray. God, forgive us for our prayerlessness.
Yeah.
You know, people, if I said we're going to have a big meal with all the trimmings, you'd be surprised how many people would show up.
Yeah.
And you say, we're having a prayer meeting. Whoops, where is everybody?
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
Right.
It's all a condition of the heart. Listen, people in your family need to hear you call out their name to God in prayer. Whenever we got together after all of us boys moved out, my dad, when we would get together, he'd say, come on now, boys, let's go pray. And we'd go off into a bedroom somewhere, or off into a hallway, or out on the back porch, or wherever. We'd find a place, and then my dad would pray for every one of us boys. And you know, I always liked it most when he was praying for me.
Yeah.
Amen. My dad lifted my name before the Lord in prayer.
Praise God.
I remember when I was a young boy, we grew up on Round Lake, and we would, on nights after eating the meal, we'd go up and play football up on a field just near our house. And my dad would get up after, when I say get up, we had a home down on the lake. And so he'd walk up those 13 stairs to the road, and he'd have his Bible in his hand. He was going over to the Sanford Lake, and he would go over there and get alone with God. I wondered why my father always was encouraged and strengthened. I wondered why he was always excited about the things of God. He was constantly praising the Lord. He'd come up to you and say, give me 50 things you thank the Lord for. 50? Yeah, start naming them off. Amen. He was always trying to get people to praise the Lord. Amen. You ought to be, when you get around, people ought to say, man, there he goes again. He wants everybody to know what they thank the Lord for. Always caring about people. Number three, has your family heard you read the Bible to them? Yes or no? Do you sit down and read the Word of God? Most families, you know, they sit around and watch TV or get on the computer all night. Or when mom says it's time to eat, everybody runs out into the car. They're going out to eat, you know. Huh? Where's the time where people say, you know, we're going to shut everything else off and we're just going to sit around. We're going to read the Word of God. Thus saith the Lord. Listen, this book, it's 400 years old, right?
Yeah.
This book ought to be a living book.
Yeah.
It ought to come alive when you read it. And when you read it, you ought to say, Lord, what are you saying to me? Do you, with your family, take time for them to hear the Word of God being read? Sitting in your house, notice there in our text, you'll notice there in verse 7 it says, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Teach them what? Teach them the Word of God. Talk of them. When thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. A constant desire to say, I want the Word of God to be a part of our home. I want our children to make the Bible a part of their home when they leave home. You know? Some children, the only reason they do the Bible reading, the only reason they go to church is because they have to. I heard the story of a lady, a girl that went to Bible college, and during her Bible college, she got saved. She called her parents up and told them, hey, Mom and Dad, I got saved. And the father was like, what do you mean you got saved? What are they teaching at that college? You've been saved for a long time. He said, man, you went out on visitation, you sang in the choir, you taught a Sunday school. What do you mean you got saved? She said, Dad, I did all of that for you. But now I'm saved. Wow. Why do we do what we do?
Yeah.
Do we do it because we're under pressure, because we have to, or we do it because we love to? Number four. Has your family seen you tithe, pay a tithe to the Lord's work? Even the pastor can say amen right there. That's good preaching, right?
Hello.
The tithe, giving to the Lord's work.
Yeah.
Don't you think it's important to keep the work of God going?
Right.
You know, Pastor Sexton said to me one day, he said, now Dan, it's easy to start something, it's hard to keep it going.
Yeah.
And that's true.
Right.
It takes a lot of work and labor and struggle and prayer and begging God and, and deadlines and mortgage payments and utility payments and salaries and upkeep and capital improvements, all of that is done by God's people.
That's right.
Not one family could finance this ministry.
Right.
But everyone that says, God's blessed me and I want to be a blessing, and I'm going to give a tithe and an offering to the great work of God. Your children need to see you give your tithe to God.
That's right.
I really believe that's important. That's one of the great things you teach your children. That you're not stingy.
Yeah.
That when there's a need, you're able to give. You know, so many people are so far in debt that they can't give to a special need. And that's why it's important to really ask God to help you with your finances so that you can be debt free, so that when you can put some money away, so that when the time comes where you can help, you can be a big blessing.
Yeah.
I think it's important. Let your children fill out your tithe check. Now make sure they don't put too many zeros. You might be in trouble right there, you know. But they need to say, boy, wow, Mom and Dad, man, they really give to the Lord's work. Wow. Woo! They really give. And they do it because they love the work of God. You know, I've been involved in the work of the Lord long enough to know that when I get excited about something, I want to share it with people. I want them to know, and I want my son to know that I'm a giving father. And I want my daughter to know that. We give to the Lord's work. When I was pastor, I gave all of our children a box of envelopes, like I gave the parents envelopes.
Yeah.
I wanted every one of them. You know, these kids make some good money these days, you know.
Yeah.
They have a birthday, they get $300 or $400. That's $30 for the Lord right there, amen?
Right.
I said, teach these kids, if you get a dollar, you give 10 cents.
Yeah.
And boy, I'll tell you what, it's wonderful when children are giving. Teach your children to be giving. We used to pick up pop bottles along the road, you know? And we used to go out when it rained at night, we'd pick up night crawlers. Now, how many of you would do fishing? Anybody of you go fishing? We got a few fishermen here. Most people don't know how to do that on the computer, you know? But we used to go and we'd get a penny for every night crawler we could find. I made good money when I was a kid. I had to because my father said, Daniel, would you like some new clothes? I said, yes, I would. He said, well, you better get a job then. Right? And you know what? We gave to the Lord and God honored it and blessed it. And oh, it's so important. Listen, these are things that must be taught to our children. We must show them that we love to give to the work of the Lord. Number five, has your family seen you at the altar confessing your sins to God? That's important.
Yeah.
The bended knee, the old-fashioned altar. This is a place, why do we have altars? So you can come and say, oh God, I've been battling in this area of my life. I need your help. Do we need God's help to live in this day and age?
Yeah.
Are you dependent upon God's help? Have your children ever seen you cry for lost souls? Have your children ever seen you weep over their own sin? You know what's so sad? Some people don't weep over their sin. No. And so somebody else has to weep over their sin. There are some parents that go to bed at night and they weep themselves to sleep. Their pillow is wet with tears because their children are breaking their heart. That ought not to happen. If it is happening, you need to set your child down and say, you have broken my heart. I never intended for you to live this way. Amen.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, a child has a hard time fighting against the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God when they see a parent in tears. They that sow in tears shall reap in what?
Joy.
I'd rather be rejoicing than crying. Amen. And I'll tell you what, we need to come to this altar and say, oh God, I need your help. Why does everything have to be falling apart before we cry out to God? Why can't we cry out to God before things fall apart?
Yeah.
And say, I bathed my kids in prayer and I showed them how to live for God. And I'm expecting a great victory in their life. I remember one time my father sat us boys down. All five of us. Timmy, Tommy, Danny, Andy, and Peter. He said, "Now, boys, any one of you could put me right out of the ministry."
Right.
He put the fear of God into us.
Yeah.
He said, "If you do something that brings reproach upon the name of the Lord, and the police officer is visiting our house, or you're down at the jailhouse," he said, "the next Sunday, I'm putting my resignation. I will not pastor a church and tell people how to live if my own children aren't living for the Lord."
Yeah.
Man, that scared me. Yeah. That put the fear of God in me. Amen. I'm glad he said it. The truth is, he meant it. Many times parents say things they don't mean.
Yeah.
You're grounded for 2 years. 20 minutes later, say, "You want to go to the store with me?" Your threats are no good. Listen, we need to walk with God and love our children and show them the good and the right way and come and confess and pray. Bring your children to the altar. Let God work in their hearts. Whenever my wife goes to the altar, I want to go too.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'll go to the altar and she'll be there behind me praying. Why? Because we're one. We want to see God bless our life. I were praying for our grandchildren. Little Brooklyn. That's a neat name, Brooklyn. I said, "Is the next child going to be Staten Island?" But anyway, but Brooklyn, she got saved.
Amen.
And it was amazing. At my father's funeral in Florida, my son Josh and Rebecca, both our children, flew to Florida for my dad's funeral. Well, Heather and the girls, they stayed back in Fort Worth, Texas. On the day that we buried my father, Brooke said to Heather, "I want to get saved." Well, they had been talking to her a little bit about it, and she had said something before, but they kind of put it off because they wanted to make sure she really was ready. And sure enough, she was ready. She got saved. She wasn't afraid to say so. And Anne Marie said, "I saw a change in her life. Her attitude was better. She was beating up her sister before. Now she's treating her real good, you know." But it was just amazing how God worked. And just a few weeks ago, before I came up here, I had the privilege of baptizing my granddaughter.
Amen.
Oh, boy. That was exciting.
Amen.
To see the next generation serving the Lord. Amen. What a thrill. Oh, that's the thrill of life, is to see God working in your family and doing great things. But I'll tell you what, you're going to have to set the stage. You're going to have to hit the altar. You're going to have to humble yourself and get on your knees at home and say, "Oh, God, you've got to do a work in our lives." Oh, may we see it happen. Number six, has your family seen you pass out tracts?
Amen.
Oh, man. My, you know, Pastor, I'm going to tell you this, and it breaks my heart and it breaks my wife's heart, but you would not believe how many churches we go in and there's no tract racks. You can't find tracts. I thought that was one of the main things that we do.
Yeah.
Pass out gospel tracts.
Right.
I mean, if a church can't afford tracts, something's wrong with them.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
The printed page.
Yeah.
I used to frequent a deli up in Peekskill. How many have ever frequented a deli?
Oh,
yes. On a regular basis, amen? Yes. We're all guilty, right? Well, I would go there, and the guy, I came by so often that the guy, I asked him, could I put a little track rack on your right here by where people pay their bills, so that they might pick them up and take them. He said, "Yeah, sure, go ahead." So I did.
Great.
Nice little flyer, a special invitation to attend Annsville Baptist Church. A young man by the name of Paul Keck happened to be hiking out at Bear Mountain. Well, he stopped at that deli and he picked up one of those tracks and he stuck it in his pocket. 2 years later, he's cleaning his dresser drawer out and he finds this track. And so he came on a Sunday morning, I'll never forget, he said, "You see this?" He said, "I picked this up at that deli 2 years ago." And I said, "Well, you know," I said, "Paul, can I take you out to lunch this week?" He said, "Sure." So I tried to lead him to the Lord, but he wouldn't get saved. He had a lot of questions. So I tried to answer his questions. This is all from a track. The next week, I set it up to meet with him again for lunch, and I brought one of my men that lived in his area. I wanted this man to work on him. Well, that man led him to Christ in the restaurant that day. And then he started discipling him. He took him through the 7 steps to Christian joy. And it was amazing how God worked in Paul Keck's life. In fact, Paul Keck helped us with the Fundamental Baptist Forum. And I was very discouraged one night when I was on my way down to the radio, and I said, "You know what? I'm gonna give up on this. I don't think I want to keep doing this." And he said, "Well, I thought you were going to double your time. You know, you're on for a half hour for $375. Why don't you raise the money from the church people and be on, you know, and pay the $700 and then you're on once a month for a whole hour." I didn't think you were going to slow down. I thought you were going to pick up steam.
Yeah.
And by the end of that night, the Holy Spirit convinced me that I needed to be on for an hour instead of just a half hour. So then I could take a half hour phone calls. And how many of you ever listened to the Fundamental Baptist Forum? A number of you did, right? Anyway, Paul, I went back to our church and I said, if you would like to support the radio show so I could be on for a whole hour, let's start taking commitments. And I raised the money like that. All because of a man that picked up a tract that was lost.
Yeah.
Now, do you see the influence you have on people that get saved because you gave them a gospel tract?
That's right.
My father said, "Shirts with no pockets were created by the devil to keep preachers from passing out tracts." That's good, isn't it? My dad was a real fanatic. He put on the side of his car, "Jesus saves sinners from hell." He got a knock on his motel door and some man was standing there. Carol opened up the door and said, "Can I help you?" And he said, is this your car out here?" And she said, "Yes, it is." And she thought, "Man, I'm in trouble." And she said, "Let me get my husband." So my dad came out there and the fellow said, I'm a sinner. Could Jesus save me?" And he led that man to Christ and then baptized him.
Amen.
It was the very town that my dad went to start a church in up in Vermont. That was just a few years ago. Amen. And I'm just saying to you that we've got to give out the gospel.
Right.
It used to be that Sunday nights in churches, they would try to get as many lost people to come as possible.
Yeah.
Now you try to get saved people to come.
Yeah. Right.
Something's wrong with that picture.
Yeah, that's right.
Whatever happened to the gospel hour?
Yeah.
Getting the gospel to people. Inviting people to come. You know, some said, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, he was just a great preacher and he could just draw people. No, he didn't draw people. No. Charles Haddon Spurgeon made it known that if the people of his church on Sunday morning would take the pastor's message and share it with somebody before Sunday night, take the Sunday night message and share it with somebody before Wednesday night, take the Wednesday night and share it with somebody before Sunday, that people would start coming, and they did. His church was full. Was he a good preacher? Yes, he was. But he had people that went after people.
Right.
We've got to get aggressive in our witnessing.
Yeah.
It'll fire you up.
Yeah.
If you had a whole family sitting here tonight that you invited, would you be excited?
Yeah.
But you may not be excited until you get somebody to come. We had one man in our church. In 20 years, he brought one person one time. It was the only excited service he ever had. He came to me, "Pastor! Somebody's coming uninvited!" And he was like, this is the biggest thing that's ever happened. It's almost as great as sliced bread. I mean, he was excited. But that soon died because he quit inviting people. Oh, we must get out there and pass out the gospel. Amen?
Yeah, amen.
Listen, if we're going to teach it at the house, we've got to take it out of the house. If we're going to preach it in the church, we've got to preach it out of the church.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
If we stand here and say, "Well, I'll pray and they'll all come in," that doesn't work. He said, "Go out into the highways, into the hedges, and compel them to come in that my house may be full."
Amen?
Amen.
Right.
I'd rather preach to a human body than to a metal chair.
Right.
Amen?
Yeah.
God can do something in your life if you'll surrender in these areas. Number seven, has your family heard you tell someone how to be saved? Have you ever witnessed to where your children heard you talking about the Lord to somebody? I remember we were traveling in evangelism when we first started. Joshua was traveling with us, and I always get in there, get the gas, and go to the restroom, grab something to drink, jump in the van, and then off we go, you know. Well, Josh would take his time, and it's irritating. I get irritated about it. I'd say, Ian, isn't he coming? Man, you're sitting here waiting for him. He finally comes out, and I said, man, what took you so long? You know, real spiritual. He said, I was witnessing to a Muslim guy. Oh, okay. Excuse me. I like it when somebody talks to somebody about the Lord. You know, when somebody says to you, how you doing? Tell them. How am I doing? I'm saved. On my way to heaven. Amen. I did that the other day in Savers store. How many of you ladies know where the Savers store is? No, you don't know it? Well, oh, there's a good shopper right there. Yeah. And I was in there, and this great big guy, I'm checking out, and he said, how you doing today? I said, oh, I'm doing great. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I said, you know what I'm talking about? He looked at me and said, yep. Yep. I bet you no one ever said that to him before. Amen. We need to shock some people a little bit. Amen.
Yeah.
You know, Howard Stern shocks people.
Yeah.
And he's lost and needs a Savior.
Yeah.
We Christians ought to be excited about the things of God and talk to people and ask them about their eternal destiny. Where are you going when you die? Don't be afraid. Share your faith. Share your faith. And then number eight, has your family heard you tell someone how much your church means to you? Where would you be? Where would your family be if it wasn't for Bible Baptist Church? Some of you got saved. Somebody came to your door and invited you to church. You came here because somebody cared about your soul. You hear the Word of God. You've been faithful to the Lord. How come that's happened? It's because this church keeps its doors open. This church struggles to meet their needs, to stay faithful, so that the doors of this church can stay open, so people's hearts can be touched and lives can be changed. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, listen. We have a decent crowd this evening, but you know Sunday morning there's more people here than there is in the evening, right? You're the faithful ones. You're the ones that really, unless somebody's providentially hindered, my dad said, unless you're providentially hindered, that meant you're either at the hospital or you're already in the morgue.
Yeah.
You be here, amen? Unless you're sick, you can't get out of bed. But the point is that as we gather together like this, and as we worship together, we need to start talking about our church to people. Man, my preacher, he tells it like it is. Now, I can say that without any reservation. He doesn't mince words, right? You don't have to wonder where your pastor stands. Amen. That's the way it was on the radio too, boy. He stirred it up. Praise the Lord. I love that. Not afraid to preach the truth. And love people even when they don't want to hear the truth of God's Word. Listen, tell you something. If God was pastor of this church, He'd make you mad. It's true. The Holy Spirit of God will either speak to your heart and cause you to be happy, or the devil will see to it that what is said you'll hate. You know what? That's the truth. You're either going to get mad or you're going to get glad
right. When
it comes to the things of God. And I'll tell you, we need to let people know, man, I love my church. Come visit. Let people know that you're excited about what God's doing here.
Yeah.
There's no perfect church. There is no perfect church because we're imperfect people. But we've got a perfect God.
Amen.
And the closer we get to God, the more perfect and complete our lives become.
That's right.
And the closer you get to God, the greater your burden is going to be for the lost. And, oh, God, help us to let the people that don't come Sunday night, don't come when, let them know what they're missing. Say, man, you missed it last night. God spoke to my heart. Call somebody and say, let me tell you what Brother Knickerbocker preached. Get a piece of paper and a pencil out. Amen. Tell them what I preached. God will use that to speak to their heart.
Yeah.
And you'll multiply my ministry. Think about it. I'm not sure how many are here, 60 people here. But if every one of you shared my message tonight with somebody before Wednesday, you might be responsible for helping someone's life to change.
Yeah.
Just because you took the time to do it.
Amen.
God help us in this area.
Amen.
I think this is a missing link in our churches today.
Right.
Most messages, you know, they say, Pastor, that only 3% of what a preacher preaches is remembered. That's why I have to preach so long, ain't that? Just kidding. Oh, my. Number 9. Has your family heard you speak of your love to each other? You know, it's funny how we say, boy, I love that restaurant. And yet we never tell our spouse or our children that we love them. Oh, I love that car. That car is going to be a rust bucket one of these days. Where are your children going to be? You know what I mean? We need to show love to each other. Selfish people don't show love. Yeah. Selfish people are stuck on themselves. They're only interested in who they are. They don't really care about anybody else but themselves. But people that are you okay? Is there anything I can do for you? I love you. Showing love. Some children, no time their parents speak to them. They're yelling at them. You better talk to them more so that you don't have to be yelling at them all of the time. Amen.
Yeah.
Just go in there at night and tuck them in and say, let's pray together. I love you. I'm so glad that you're my child. You know, talk to them about spiritual things. God gave you to me. And I want to be the best parent that I can possibly be. Amen.
Amen.
Let's show love to one another.
Amen.
Let's care about each other. And it's so, you know, so wonderful to pray for each other, you know. Pray for each other.
Right.
Mom, I prayed for you today. Whenever I would call my mother, she'd say, is this Danny? Because she remembered my voice. I never had to say, hello, Mom, this is your son, Dan. She would say, hi, Dan. Hi, Danny. How you doing? Pray for you today. Amen, Mom.
Amen.
I love you.
Amen.
My mom and dad, every night, they would lay in bed and hold hands and pray for us boys. And then the grandchildren. Pray for us. God help us to do that. Amen.
Amen.
Let's love each other. Let's speak of each other in loving tones. And then number 10, has your family heard you express thanks to for God's blessing in your life? A lot of times, you know what we find ourselves doing? Complaining about, oh man, I got to go to work. You know, if you didn't go to work, you couldn't feed your family. Isn't that a novel thought? You know, that stinking car, man, I hate this car. Well, it got you to work. You know, and we always complain about the car when it breaks down, but we, you know, cars aren't perfect either. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we need to really thank the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord, my car broke down today. I got to witness to the tow man. Yeah. Amen. I remember sometimes we were coming over here yesterday, and I don't know. I've been around the city like crazy, but I got turned around and took a wrong road, and I had to go out of my way, and I got stuck in traffic on the Major Deegan, and I'm starting to complain. And my wife says, who knows, maybe it saved us from getting in an accident. Praise the Lord. You know? Plus, we're too busy anyway. You know, we're just running at 150 miles an hour, and it seems like it's not fast enough for us. God help us to slow down a little bit. Amen?
Amen.
And enjoy the blessings of God. And thank God for His goodness. Praise the Lord. I get to go to church tonight.
Amen.
I can't wait for Wednesday. I want to go visiting. I want to do something for God. I want people to know I'm happy in Jesus.
Right.
Now, these are some questions. Now, every one of you got these 10 questions. How many yeses did you have, and how many noes did you have? Let's bow together in prayer.